Although it was Hogswatch, the university buildings were bustling. Wizards didn't go to bed early in any case, and of course there was the Hogswatch night feast to look forward to at midnight. Often they lived to a timescale to suit themselves. Many of the senior ones, of course, lived entirely in the past, but several were like the Professor of Anthropics, who had invented an entire temporal system based on the belief that all the other ones were a mere illusion. Many people are aware of the weak and strong anthropic principles. The weak one says, basically, that it was jolly amazing of the universe to be constructed in such a way that humans could evolve to a point where they make a living in, for example, universities, while the strong one says that, on the contrary, the whole point of the universe was that humans should not only work in universities, but also write for huge sums books with words like cosmic and chaos in the titles. The UU Professor of Anthropics had developed the special and inevitable anthropic principle, which was that the entire reason for the existence of the universe was the eventual evolution of the UU Professor of Anthropics. But this was only a formal statement of the theory which absolutely everyone, with only some minor details of a fill-in-name-here nature, secretly believes to be true. And they're correct. The universe clearly operates for the benefit of humanity. This can be readily seen from the convenient way the sun comes up in the morning when people are ready to start the day. It would give some idea of the scale of the Hogswatch night feast that a light snack at UU consisted of a mere 3 or 4 courses, not counting the cheese and nuts. Some of the wizards had been practicing for weeks. The dean, in particular, could now lift a 20-pound turkey on one fork. Having to wait until midnight merely put a healthy edge on appetites already professionally honed. There was a general air of pleasant expectancy about the place, a general sizzling of salivary glands, a general careful assembling of the pills and powders against the time, many hours ahead, when 18 courses would gang up somewhere below the ribcage and mount a counterattack. Ridcully stepped out into the snow and turned up his collar. The lights were all on in the high-energy magic building.
I don't know, he muttered. Hogswatch night and they're still working. It's just not natural. When I was a student, I'd have been sick twice by now.
In fact, Ponder Stibbons and his group of research students had made a concession to Hogswatch night. They'd draped holly over Hex and put a paper hat on the big glass dome containing the main ant heap. Every time he came in here, it seemed to Ridcully something more had been done to the engine or thinking machine or whatever it was. Sometimes stuff turned up overnight. Occasionally, according to Stibbons, Hex himself, itself, would draw plans for extra bits that he, it, needed. It all gave Ridcully the willies, and an additional willie was engendered right now when he saw the bursar sitting in front of the thing. For a moment he forgot all about Veruca's.
"What are you doing here, old chap?" he said. "You should be inside, jumping up and down to make more room for tonight."
Hooray for the pink, grey and green!" said the bursar. We thought Hex might be of, you know, help, sir, said Ponder Stibbons, who liked to think of himself as the university's token sane person. With the bursar's problem, we thought it might be a nice Hogswatch present for him.
Ye gods, bursar's got no problems, said Ridcully, and patted the aimlessly smiling man on the head, while mouthing the words mad as a spoon. Mind just wanders a bit, that's all. I said, mind wanders a bit, Only to be expected, spends far too much time adding up numbers. Doesn't get out of the fresh air. I said, you don't get out in the fresh air, old chap.
We thought, he might like someone to talk to, said Ponder.
What? But I talk to him all the time. I'm always trying to take him out of himself, said Ridcully. It's important to stop him moping around the place.
Yes, certainly, said Ponder diplomatically.
He recalled the bursar as a man whose idea of an exciting time had once been a soft-boiled egg.
So, well, let's give it another try, shall we? Are you ready, Mr. Dinwiddie?
Yes, thank you. A green one with cinnamon, if it's not too much trouble.
Can't see how he can talk to a machine, said Ridcully in a sullen voice. The thing's got no damn ears.
Ah, well, in fact, we made it one ear, said Ponder.
He pointed to a large drum in a maze of tubes.
Isn't that old Windle Poons's ear trumpet sticking out of the end? Said Ridcully suspiciously.
Yes, Arch-Chancellor. Ponder cleared his throat. Sound, you see, comes in waves.